You may be seated, and if you would turn to Matthew chapter 17, I want to talk to you about six situations when you should fast. There are many others, but I have chosen these six. But we began a corporate fast of 21 days on January the 10th. We'll be going through January 30th. And I believe that in this study right here, you will find a situation that applies to your life, something that you're dealing with right now. On one occasion, Jesus' disciples, they could not heal a little boy that was bound by the devil. Jesus healed him. And the disciples, they asked, why couldn't we do it? And look at what Jesus responded. Matthew 17, 21. Jesus said, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now, I've read other translations that leave out the fasting. But they came too late to tell me about it, because when I got saved, nobody taught me how to fast and told me to fast. I just read that right there, that one verse. And when I read that, I knew the way to get out of my situation was to pray and fast and learn the weapons of my warfare. And when I read those watered-down translations, I just can't take what they say, you know. So I just go back to the book, King James Version, and if you'll do some Bible study, you'll find out that this was in the original scrolls. I was in Israel, and they found a Dead Sea Scrolls. And Isaiah's book, just the way it's in the King James, it was intact in those Dead Sea Scrolls. So tonight I want to talk about six subjects when you should fast. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that you will open our understanding. Lord, that we will draw close to you, because you said, draw close to me, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you. And so, Lord, we choose to come close by denying ourselves some of our very necessary food so that we can transition into the spirit world and hear what thus saith the Lord. Thank you for your blessings. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to give you the six situations you could find yourself in that you need to proclaim a fast. But before I do that, I want to explain briefly why you should fast. You may be wondering, why should I fast and when should I fast? Well, I want to give you two scriptural examples. They were given by Jesus, and I think these two examples will be sufficient. First of all, you should fast because Jesus said you should fast. Is that good enough, anybody? You should fast because Jesus said you should fast. The disciples of John the Baptist, they came to Jesus one day and said, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples don't fast? Well, look at what Jesus said in Matthew 9:15. Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? Now, Jesus was still with them at this time. He hadn't been crucified on the cross. He hadn't been buried. He hadn't been raised from the dead. He hadn't received the glorified body. He said, can the children of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with him? But look at this. But the day will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. So Jesus expects us to fast. And since he expects us to fast, he set an example. And he prayed and fasted 40 days when he was in his wilderness experience. How did he overcome the devil? In all three temptations, he just took out the sword of the Spirit and said, it is written. I like the first one. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Another example is where Jesus said we should fast. It's found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 17. Look at this. But thou, you, when you pray, not if you pray, but when you pray, anoint your head with oil and wash your face, that you may appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And your Father which sitteth in secret shall reward you openly. So Jesus is telling us that we should fast. And we're doing what's called a corporate fast. Many times during the year, I fast. I don't tell anybody what I'm doing. That's just between me and the Lord. I feel that my sword is not sharp enough, and I'm not hearing enough from God. And so I just spend that time, and I try to pray and fast. And try to keep my body under control too. I don't want my body to rule me. I want to rule my body. I got about 30 minutes to preach a 45-minute sermon, and I don't have that much. But, I'll just tell you, in the world we live in today, the body is king. And the mind is a servant, and the spirit is sort of like a slave. The way it's supposed to be, the spirit's supposed to be king. Seek ye first the kingdom. And then the mind is supposed to be a servant. And the mind, under the rulership of the spirit, tells the body what you do. It makes the body a slave. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies to Jesus, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Where do you want to live? In the good will, the acceptable will, or the perfect will of God? It's up to you. You must choose. Sister Patsy said, oh, I just been in the spirit. I can't tell you what's going on. Speaking in tongues up here. I've been seeking God. She got a hold of Sunday morning sermon because she's always been a great Christian. But something sparked that in her. And she got a hold of, the blessings. The blessings. Think about God's blessings. Hallelujah. Of first fruit. Give God first place in everything and watch him work. So, prayer coupled with fasting, it intensifies our prayer. I've got a sermon somewhere on the fasting prayer. Fasting is the only thing you can do that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, if you go that long, you're denying this body and you're in a constant mode of prayer. I challenge anybody to tell me any other way that you can present yourself to God and for 24 hours a day, even when you're sleeping, because you're not eating your necessary food, 24 hours a day, you're presenting yourself to God. I call it the fasting prayer. Six situations when you should fast. First of all, when you face an enemy. All of us face the enemy. He's called a devil. But your enemy could be your bank account. It may be your bills. Your enemy could be a piece of real estate you need to sell. And you've got everything tied up in something, and sometimes you just need to sell that thing, get it off your hands. Your enemy could be a family member, someone else who is trying to harm you, people that try to destroy your life. We're not wrestling flesh and blood, and you need to know that. That's a real devil, and people would need to do what the word says. But your real enemy, he is the devil, and he goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And the question is this. How do we, as Christians, how do we handle our enemies? We can do that. If we learn how, we can win the victories of life. But here's the answer. When you fast, God will come on the scene, and God will fight your enemies for you. I tell you, when you've done all to stand, just stand and see the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me give you an example from the scriptures, and I want you to notice that this is a corporate fast. Here's an enemy. It's found in Esther chapter 4, beginning in verse 15. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. The kingdom's in trouble, just like our nation's in trouble right now, and that's why we're fasting and praying 21 days. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me. And neither eat nor drink 3 days nor nights. And I will also, and my maidens will fast likewise. So I will go before the king, which is not according to the law. If I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. So when you have an enemy that's coming against you, here is what will happen if you will fast and pray. There are four main characters in this story. The king of Persia, Xerxes. There's Mordecai, there's Esther, and there's an evil man named Haman. Haman hated the Jews, and he influenced the king to destroy them. Now, this Bible is just as up to date as the morning newspaper. There are people that hate the church. They will do everything they can to stop the church, but I have no worry about the church. When I'm long gone, the church will still be triumphant. Jesus said, I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's not a, political force in the world that can defeat the church. That's not a army that can defeat the church. There's no economic force that can defeat the church. There is nothing that can defeat the church. Because Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And if you want to know whether or not God's hand is on America, just go to New York and look at that Statue of Liberty standing up there. And God is letting the whole world know that people from all over the world, they come to this nation because there's liberty. And this nation was built on the basis of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We got people in this country bad-mouthing our country, yet we've got people that they don't appreciate where God has put them, what God has done for them, what God has done for this country. And they said, my ancestors were treated this way, and my ancestors were treated that way, and this it should be. Let me tell you something. Be thankful, whoever you are out there, that you are in America. I come home from Vietnam, and they didn't treat me so good. They wouldn't give me a job. They kept me from going into certain colleges to get an education. I never let it stop me. I was thankful to be back home in America where I could live my life out and I could make something of my life because of the opportunities that are available in America. So if it's you got a problem with anything, get over it. If you're a Christian, the Bible says, forgetting the things which are behind you, reaching forth to the things which are before. I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus my Lord. That's just free. It's not a part of my sermon. But I'm just so tired of people bad-mouthing this country. This is the greatest nation in the world because God raised up America, and we got a bunch of mealy-mouthed politicians with no spine that did not like the fact that, God, we're going to make America great again. We don't need our politicians selling out our stuff to the communists, to Red China and taking our jobs over there. No, we need help here in America. I'm still on my subject. It's called fasting and praying because that's what we're doing. Hallelujah. So Haman hated the Jews, and he influenced the king to destroy them. Haman was exalted by the king, and he demanded that everyone bow down to him. Well, Mordecai refused to, and Haman came up with a plot to hang him openly. I said he wanted to hang him openly and disgrace him before the whole nation. But God showed up one night, hallelujah, when the king couldn't sleep, and he had the books. Listen to me. I'm not preaching this stuff tonight. This is coming straight from the throne. Hallelujah. He had the books open. Amen. Brought forth, and God directed him to read what a man named Mordecai had done and saved his life without telling him about the king. Now, I got notes here, but I hadn't planned to say all this. And the king asked, what have we done to reward Mordecai? And when he was told that nothing had been done, he asked Haman, said, what should be done for a man like this to honor him? Well, Haman thought he was talking about him. And so he told him, said, put him on the king's horse. Let him ride down the street and hail the man as a man being honored by God. Well, to Haman's surprise, the king, I love this, ordered him to do for Mordecai what he thought someone was going to do for him. Put him on the king's horse. Dress him up in the king's apparel and let him lead the horse. Well, meanwhile, Mordecai, he had pressed Esther to go before the king on behalf of the Jews. They're going to wipe these people out. That's their plan there. Well, Esther was beautiful. I mean, she must have been a knockout. The king loved her, and when Queen Esther went in, the king offered to grant her any request up to half of his kingdom. Well, Esther told the king about the plot. He thought it was all hidden. There are people that think things are hidden. But I got the Word of God right here in my hand. It says, whatever is done in darkness will come to the light. I'll tell you, there comes a day of reckoning, and it ain't all going to be on the judgment day either. There comes a time when God says, enough is enough, and then God moves on the scene. Esther told the king of the plot to kill the people, the Jews, and that Haman was the man behind the plot. What did the king do? Well, let's look at Esther 7 and 10. I love this right here. You know, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. I promise you that. That's a law. That's God's law, not mine. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath or anger pacify. See, God began to move supernaturally. And God moves supernaturally when we fast and when we pray. There's nothing else that will move the hand of God. There are some things that only come by prayer and fasting. There must come a revival to the church before there comes a spiritual awakening out there. The church, repentance must begin at the house of God. We got a lot of people, and I hope you're watching tonight. I got a mean streak in me tonight. I got one anyway. I'm a warrior. I hope you're watching. How in the world can you say that you're pro-life when you vote for a president that will kill little babies? Take me off if you want to. Hallelujah. How can you say that you're for traditional marriage when you vote for a man where he performed a same-sex marriage and his running mate, Kamala Harris, also has performed a same-sex marriage? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. I feel the prophetic anointing. Whether you like it or not, that's the word of God. How can you vote for people that don't want the Ten Commandments nor this Bible, which is the word of God? You have been dumbed down by politics, and you've been dumbed down by your own prejudices. Get in the word of God, learn from the word of God, become doers of the word of God and not hearers only, and revival will come to the church, because God's going to weed you out anyway. He's going to separate the wheat and the tares, and God's going to send revival to his church, and those that receive it, they are going to repent. And we're going to stop. You know, we got some people saying, oh, they're going to shut our churches down. No, you're shutting the churches down. You're here on Sunday morning only. You're not back on Sunday night. You're not back in the house of God on Wednesday night. If anybody's shutting the church down right now, the church is being shut down by the Christian. Get out of your complacency. Wake up. Arise and shine. Your day has come. God wants to pour the glory out in Jesus' name. My Lord. I tell you what, I feel that prophetic anointing when it comes. I won't hold it back. They say it'll tear a church up. No, it won't. I tell you what it'll do. It'll expose the sin. And people will get sin out of their life, or they'll die and go to hell. And that's the truth of the word of God. Lord, help us and help me too. So push the plate back and say, Father, the battle's not mine. The battle is yours. I present my body to you, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto the Lord, which is my reasonable service, and watch the Lord. So the first of all, fast when you're facing an enemy. Secondly, fast when you need a word from God. When you need to hear from heaven and you need divine direction, if you will fast, God will give you clear direction from his throne. Moses is on the mountain. Now, I want you to look at how God responds to his fast. Look at Exodus 34:28. And he was with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. Now watch this immediately after the fast. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Now Moses was supernaturally sustained by God. Nobody can go 40 days without water unless they're in the presence of God and they're in a spirit world to where their body is not being affected by that. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. He wasn't thirsty. Thirst is the greatest, other than air, the next thing, and rest. Your whole, if you don't get rest, your whole system will go bong, and you just be out of it. You got to have water. You got to have rest. We got to have air. You got to have water. You got to have rest. And you can go 40 to 60 days and not eat a thing. I promise you, you won't die. You might feel like you are, but you won't die. I've never been that far. I've been 21 days, and I didn't die. Here I stand on nothing but water. My wife did it with me. So when you need to hear from heaven and you need divine direction, if you will fast, God will give you clear direction. Now, I'm telling you that what you need to do when you need a word from God, you need to fast and pray. A word about your business. How about a word about your marriage? How about a word about your children? I have fasted and prayed. I've had my children tell me, I don't believe like that. And I said, yes, you do. I taught you that when you were a child. I don't believe like that. I said, I don't care what you say. They didn't know I was praying and fasting. They didn't know that I already told the devil, you won't have my children. You'll have to come through the blood of Jesus. You'll have to get through me. And if you get through the blood of Jesus, by the time you got through that, you'd be calling me brother. I'm going to tell you what, we got authority over the devil. Now, he's mean. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's on a mission. It's time for the church to become the church and get the junk out of their life and begin to learn that when God puts a man in a pulpit, come under his authority. It's not the man, it's the position that God puts it. We got enough sense in this United States of America to look at the office of president and to say we need to reverence that man. And the scriptures tell us to pray for that man. So all the people whose heart is grieved right now in America, 70, I don't know how many of the Christians, but 79 or 75 plus million people are grieved right now. Guess what? The Christians that prayed for him and voted for him, they will have to now turn and pray for Joe Biden. I hate to say the word president, but he is. They will have to pray for him because the scripture says pray for those in leadership. How about we're going to submit to him? How about submit to the leadership in the church? We got apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, preachers. Now, you're going to find some false stuff in there. You're going to find some false prophets. You're going to find some people that, you know, they are good people, but they missed the mark. But you're going to find some people they're not. They're sheeps. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. If you know a man is a man of God, pray for him. Help that man. And ask God, how can I help him? And get busy about the king's business. Hallelujah. We're on a mission. So when you don't know what to do, get quiet before God and pray and fast. If you're praying fast, God will give you a word from the throne. God will speak to you. God will give you direction. And he will give you peace when you fast. Not only do you need to fast when you're facing an enemy, not only do you need to fast when you need a word of God, but thirdly, fast when you cannot handle the pressures of life. Look at the pressures of life that we are facing right now. Look at the pressures in our nation. I mean, you know, if they were going to make me president, I don't think I'd call anybody in to guard me. I got the United States Marine Corps, the president's own. Yes, sir. I got an airplane, a little helicopter to take me out. The Marines standing right there, first to fight. Yeah, that's the president's own. When I was in the Marine Corps, I wanted to go to 8th and I drill school. It's the president's own. I would have been one of those things throwing. I had the right height. I had the right weight. But guess what? When I got over that, I wanted 2 more years of my life in the Marine Corps, and I was willing to give it. When I got there, all those billets were gone. They tried to send me to sea school. I said, I won't give you a year for sea school. And they made me run back to the rifle range. But I wanted to be in that. I'd like to stand down at that helicopter and salute my commanding chief as he came on. What an honor. My God. But, you know, let's get real about what we are in the church and give honor to whom honor is due and love one another and quit running people down. How did I get over here tonight? Quit saying things and hurting people's feelings all the time. Why don't you just be thankful for what God has done in your life and pray and fast and seek God's face and watch God pour out a spiritual revival in the church. If the church ever gets right and gets together, look out, devil. He better look out anyway, because here I come in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Fast when you can't handle the pressures of life. How do you get out of that dungeon? How can you get out of that depression? Fast and pray. David was God's champion. He was a great leader. David was the king of all Israel. But do you remember what happened to David? He committed adultery. He thought he had it covered up. And Naaman the prophet walks into his house and he tells him, David, you are an adulterer and you are a murderer. And suddenly, what he had done in secret, the whole world knows about it. How embarrassing. Have you ever had anything happen like that in your life that you're just ashamed of it? I promise you, if it ever happens to you, you'll serve God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength after that. You don't need to make the same mistake twice. You don't need to get hooked up with the same women twice. You don't need to get hooked up with the same man twice that has those tendencies. I've noticed something as a pastor. People, they get a divorce and they go right back to another person like that. Find a godly person. Get your heart right with God. And if you want God's blessings on your life, put God first and live right. My God. I've preached so many sermons, and we have people come in here, get delivered from drugs, and the next thing I know, they're shacking up with somebody. That's not the way to get free. You get your life straight. You want to know how to get to heaven? Turn right and keep straight ahead. That's the way to heaven. Real simple. Just right face, turn right, and straight ahead. That's it. And you can do all that other stuff, and I promise you, anybody watching out there, you're going to go around that same mountain about 40 years until God gets that thing out of you. You'll keep going around it. You affect other people too. David was an adulterer. He was a murderer. And David, the world knows about it. The Bible says the sword never left his house. He had two sons that rose up against him. Now David's filled with sorrow. He's filled with grief. And to bring even greater grief, the apostle said, that child that was born to you in that sinful act, that child's going to die. David knew how good God was. Everybody was talking about him. David felt all alone. A devil will drive you alone. I promise you, he's a slave driver. I got a sermon that I never preached, never put it on paper. It's called "The Devil Can't Deliver." It's not his nature to deliver. He will promise you things, and he cannot deliver. You ever had anything out of that cup? Get something out of that cup, and I promise you something. It'll change your whole world. Just let him take you down the road too far, and let him hold you in bondage long enough. You'll find a way out, and the only way you'll find out is through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. God can deliver. Not in the devil's nature to deliver. Look at 2 Samuel 12:16. David, the son's going to die. David therefore besought God for the child. Look at this. And David fasted. David fasted. He prayed. He poured his heart out to God. But the child died. And the men told him, they told him about it, and he broke the fast. They couldn't understand it. He said, well, while he was alive, the child was alive, he said, I could pray and believe God. He said, but now I can go to him. He's talking about the resurrection. He's talking about heaven. He's talking about, I'm going to live right now. I'm going to heaven. Now, look, the child died, and David, he fasted. He had fasted. He came out of that fast, and listen to what he cried out. You'll find it in Psalms 91 if you want to read the whole thing. Create in me a clean heart, a right spirit. Purge me, cleanse me, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Here's a man that had reached the end of himself. I tell you, David could have preached that sermon Sunday morning a whole lot better than I could on first fruits. He had come to the end of David. God restored him. I want to tell you, it doesn't matter what you've done. If you will come to God and come clean with God, God will forgive you. You can come out of any hopeless situation if you will cry out to God and mean it. So when should you fast? When you face an enemy. Secondly, when you need a word from God. Thirdly, when you can't handle the pressures of life. Fourthly, when you're in the middle of a crisis. Paul, he's out on a ship. He's on his way to Rome. He's in the middle of a crisis. That boat's cracking and popping. The wind is howling. Paul slips away and he talks to the Lord his God. And he comes back on board of that ship, 276 souls about to perish. He comes back on that ship, and he says, men, be of good cheer. What do you mean, be of good cheer, Paul? Had the wind stopped blowing? No. Had the waves calmed down? No. What do you mean, be of good cheer, Paul? He said, the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, he stood by me this night and said, be of good cheer. None of you shall perish if you stay with the Lord and stay with the boat. I want to tell you, none of us will perish if we stay in the boat. There's a place called heaven. That's our eternal home. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing by. My treasures and my hopes, they're all up in the sky. The angels beckon me to heaven's golden shore, and I just can't be at home in this world anymore. This world's not my home. I'm looking like old Abraham for a city and builder whose maker is God. And I got my ticket. His name is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I found the light. I found the word, and I'm walking in the light. And praise God, I believe I'm preaching to people that want to make heaven their eternal home. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. But Paul and all of them, they made it. It looked like it was impossible. But all your impossibilities and my impossibilities, they are possible with God. He's the great I am. He can do anything he chooses, anytime he chooses, through anybody he chooses. Hallelujah. I don't know why he chose me, but he did. I wouldn't have chosen me. You've heard me say it 100 times, I guess. I would not have chosen me. But God must have seen something in me. I don't know what it was. I'm just thankful he saved me and he called me. Hallelujah. When should you fast? Fast when you're going through a crisis. Number five, you should fast when you're being sent on a mission from God. I love this right here, Acts 13 and 2. Paul and Barnabas, they're about to go on a mission. And the Bible says, look at Acts 13, 2. As they minister to the Lord. Now, I want you to catch this. They're going to pray and fast. They're going to minister to the Lord. Do you know what fasting is? It's ministry unto God. It's saying, God, I love you so much. I want your presence so much. I want intimacy with you so much that I'll deny myself this food or some food. I'll do what I can, God, during this period. They ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, you need a word from God and you're going to be sitting on a mission. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So you fast when you're being sent on a mission. There have been many times in my life, and I've fasted for people. I've gone and for days without food and gone and prayed, seen miracle after miracle. And those people, some of them got saved. Some of them I led to the Lord. I tell you what, they don't sit in this church, a lot of them. I finally figured this thing out. When I get to heaven, I'm going to see them all, and I'm going to say, there's one over there. There's one right there I helped get to heaven. There's another one I preached to. There's another one I went and prayed. There's one I fasted for. That's one I blessed. That's when I denied myself, God, so I could carry your power to them. You don't see, God's keeping the record. Don't ever expect your blessing from man. If you do, you will be super, super, super disappointed. Expect your blessing from God, and I promise you, you will never be disappointed. God is keeping the record, and God keeps real good records. We got some people, all they want is a big title. I could care less about the title. I am working on a doctorate degree. Somebody gave me one. I said, I think I'll just earn one. You know, hallelujah. Just keep improving yourself. If all you know is what you know now, thank you for being here tonight to learn. If all you know is what you know now, you will never know any more than you know if you don't listen to other people, read good books, and get some education on the subject matter. That's free too. Hallelujah. The church is on a mission, and God says, call a solemn fast. Sanctify the fast. And that's why we start every year with 21 days of prayer and fasting. We are on a mission here at Westmoreland. And when my sword gets dull, I fast and I pray. Some people, they can preach and preach and preach. I preached that message Sunday on the first fruits, the blessings of first fruit, talking about money. And I ended it with the first fruit of the resurrection, and we had somebody saved. I went home and scratched my head. I said, God, how in the world can somebody get saved on a message on giving? Hallelujah. See, the word of God is not bound. And God can move through anything and anyone. And a lot of times people, they just come to church looking something. And God will never disappoint anybody that comes with a hunger and a thirst. But you can sit in church and you can have the mully grubs and you can run everything down if you want to. And you can dislike the music and you can dislike the preacher and you can dislike the song leaders and you can dislike the praise team. You can dislike anything you want to dislike. But guess what? You'll never be blessed of God. We better learn to love one another. We better learn that we're in perilous times. And it's time for the church to rise up and be the church and quit running down. Some of you young people, you need to learn from the older people. God didn't put you here because you know everything. God puts you to learn. God sent you to learn. God wants you to learn. He wants you to get an anointing on your life if the Lord should tarry, so you can carry Pentecostal power to your generation and the next generation. Well, did I sound hard tonight? It's because I feel mean. I do. Hallelujah. I feel my warrior anointing. And I don't back down to people. That's one thing I will tell you. Don't come. I tell the devil, don't come against me like that, because I am a warrior and I will not back down. Warriors do not quit. Warriors stand and warriors battle. Got any warriors in here? Let me see your hand. Hallelujah. Am I preaching the truth? Warriors do not quit. Warriors do not compromise. I don't care if you're male, female, boy, girl. If you are a warrior and you have a warrior anointing, you will not compromise anything or any principle when it comes to the Word of God. This is your guide. This is your roadmap. Hallelujah. Lastly, fast when you're facing an evil spirit. Jesus was fasting. He faced the devil. And when he returned to Galilee, the Bible says he returned in the power of the Spirit. And that was a man in church. He come all the time. He was full of the devil. He was, and he spoke out to Jesus. He said, "Don't send us to that place before our time." Jesus said, "Come out of him, you devil, in Jesus' name." He obeyed Jesus. He delivered the man. They wouldn't even accept him in his own hometown. They said, "We know him. Why, he's just the carpenter's son. Mary's his mother. We know his brothers and sisters. Who does he think he is?" He had picked up the scroll of the Bible, Isaiah, and read Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And any preacher worth his salt, he's got signs and wonders following him. And if he doesn't, he needs to get on his knees, repent, find a place all alone with God and say, "God, I'm not doing what you sent me to do." Jesus said, "I want you to do what I did." He taught, he preached, and he healed the sick. And when he left that place, they wouldn't even receive him. They were offended at his words. We got people in our church that offended at us. We got people that run the pastor down that never come and apologize. Well, you'll go to your grave not getting what God had purposed for your life if you act like it. I promise you. I told you I got a mean streak tonight. Hallelujah. I'm just going to preach the word to you. Because if you've done somebody wrong, if I've done somebody wrong, I'm going to apologize. And if you don't apologize, guess what? And if you don't find your place and quit trying to run the show, nobody's trying to run the show here. I'm not saying I got problems there. But if you don't find that place that God has placed you in the body and you keep trying to usurp authority, let me tell you something. You will not get the blessings of God. I've got a lot of things I don't like about what's going on in the church, but I'd never usurp authority. I would turn my credentials in before I do that. Because if you want blessings from God, you can fast, you can pray, but until you get your life lined up with the Word of God, Pastor Ricky, you will never get the things God has purposed for you. So you can project out of the natural into the spirit by fasting. Jesus said, "When you give, when you pray, when you fast, the Father, which seeth in secret, will reward you openly." Let us stand. I want God's rewards. Hallelujah. I want God to cast a special eye my way. I want God to cast a special eye Westmoreland's way. And I'm tired of church as usual. That's why we're fasting and praying. That's why I do this every year. I believe God is a good God. I believe God loves people. I don't believe coronavirus was sent by God. God doesn't need to teach me anything by sending coronavirus. He sent his word. That's enough for me right there.
For he is Lord.
is he your Lord? Or you just come to church to go through some religious motion?
He has risen.
If he is your Lord,
from the dead,
I'll have to change some things if he's my Lord. And you'll have to change some things. We got people that are suffering the onslaught of the devil. This nation is under that right now and attacked by the enemy. But it's time for the church to come together and get all the mask off. I thought about the mask we wear. I got mine right here. And we're doing that because of what's going on. But I curse COVID-19 in the name of Jesus. I curse it every day I get up. Sometimes I curse it while I'm waking up during the night, and I get up in the morning and I curse it and I say, God, I hadn't even said hello to you yet. And I'm cursing that stuff. I curse it.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. And any force that God said, I'm going to build my church, we need to become the church. You know, I ought to preach this in a place where I'm not the pastor. It's true. That's why I love to preach revivals. I don't know those people. I can go, but I know what's going on in the church. I know the church is not what the church should be. And I love every one of you. And I'll tell you something else. Any preacher that loves you, he will never hold back the truth. They say that you know, we don't love the homosexuals and the lesbians and the liars and the thieves. And yes, we do. We love them enough to preach the truth to them. Because you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Yes.
As not a politician, a teacher, as no one that can do what Jesus can do for you. We're a great nation, but we need to get back to what God built this nation upon. I hold it in my hand, the precious word of God. And if you'll do what it says, become a doer of it, and say, God, what should I do here? It'll change your whole world. And the blessings of God will overtake your life.
He is Lord, risen from the dead. And he is Lord.
He's my Lord.
Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus.
Pray with him, Brother Philip. I got to look at something here.
He is Lord.
This is a message from Tennessee. I'm at the crossroad where I don't know what to do. I know God knows what it would take place tomorrow with my son. I do not know how to plead for success. I know God knows my thoughts, but how, why, will my prayers make a difference? That's what he's asking. I believe in God and his healing hand, but I have a feeling of uncertainty whether my prayers will make a difference. There's some hurting people out there. God knows my heart and my mind. I will proceed with prayers for clarity and healing. Please do not think I'm putting you on the spot. You're a gracious follower of God. I greatly appreciate you. You're my friend and the person I can go to for understanding. It's a man I used to work with. His wife had cancer and was dying. And I called him and prayed over the phone. He said the power of God was so strong in that car. He said I had to pull over to the side of the road. Now he has a son that's facing that same thing. I led him to the Lord. I led this young boy that's facing this battle with cancer to the Lord. But they don't know God the way we know God. Can you imagine the responsibility? Can you understand the urgency of my message? Can you hear a pastor's heart? I don't just get these once in a while. It's sometimes all day long. But I'm called to do that. That's my calling, and I don't mind it. But I need a church. And I thank you for praying with me, because I'm not God. I'm just a child of God. I don't have all the answers. I just have His Word. But if the church will come together, and the church will become the church, and the church repent and get the sin out of their life and come to learn and present yourself to God, God will do what God has said He will do. He watches over that word to perform it. And God has been so good to me. I have no complaints at all. But I need people. And I thank you for every one of you. I love you. But I need for you to feel the urgency. I believe God is taking what He's placed on me, and He's placing it on you. Will you receive it? Will you take it? There's so many people hurting. I prayed for a lady. Her husband just died. Wayne West called me this afternoon and told me the lady he was seeing, Donna, had died. She's visited us in this church. She died of COVID. He's trying to get his breath right now. He's at home on oxygen. Father, we lift Wayne West up and we pray for him. We sense the urgency of the hour, Lord. We release your healing anointing to flow into Wayne West's body, Lord. And we praise you for all that you do. Lord, you said if we would pray, if we would seek you, you said there are some things that only go out by prayer and fasting. Lord, we thank you for Nathaniel's good report. Lord, he doesn't have COVID. He was exposed to someone, but he doesn't have it. What a great report, Lord. We praise you for that. We thank you for that, Lord. What is it, my brother? Brother Alan Pearson, he has a kidney stone in his back. Father, I had one that you healed me of, three of them. You healed me, Lord, of a kidney stone. The doctor never touched me. It was quite an ordeal, but Lord, I just believed. Many people prayed for me, and God, you divinely healed me. Kabusha, come on, Andabokurabashatalema. I command those kidney stones, come out! In the name of Jesus, break down and leave his body. Break down and leave Alan Pearson's body right now in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, they preached your word. They said, stretch forth your hand, Father, in the name of your holy child, Jesus, that signs and wonders may be done. And Lord, they went everywhere and preached the word, signs and wonders following them. We thank you, Lord, for signs and wonders and miracles. Hallelujah. You know, I know it's been a little longer tonight. I quit preaching when they came in. The Holy Ghost just wants to move. He wants to work a little while. Shemaine has gallstones. Father, we use Mendici as a point of contact. I pray, Lord, for those gallstones. He's going to have an operation, Lord. Things are infected. Needs to come out of there. God, you can heal them and replace them all. Fix it where there's no problem. Lord, that family needs him. Glory. Hallelujah. They need him now. Glory to God. Heal him, Lord, for your glory. We command healing to flow into that gallbladder and those gallstones. Disappear in the name of Jesus. Lord, you've healed me, and I've seen you heal hundreds. Not hundreds, Lord. Many. I don't know how many been healed of kidney stones. Hallelujah. Anybody else need special prayer? Hallelujah. Father, I pray that, Lord, we will realize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but against the devil and his demons. And God, that a warrior anointing will come upon this church. That, Lord, we'll do it in love. You said to preach the word in love. But, God, we have to preach the word. We can't pacify people. We cannot sugarcoat it. We just got to preach the word. And, Lord, let it fall where it will. Some will receive it. Some will fall on good ground. Some will deny it. Some will be there for a season, God, but you said preach the word. Some fell by the wayside. I'm so glad for that, Father, because I was by the wayside. And that word fell into my heart. Thank you for saving us, Lord. Thank you for keeping this great nation, Lord. The church is a part of end time prophecy. Thank you for protecting the church in America. And I thank you, God, for this church becoming stronger and stronger in the power of the Lord and in your might. Lord, that means people have to be strong in the Lord. So strengthen us by your spirit in the inner man. The church said in Jesus' name, amen. Tell three people you're blessed and highly favored of God.